Praise the Lord. Thank you, praise team. You can take your seat. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, we ask for grace to trust you more and more in Jesus' name. Amen. Eternal God, we come before you this morning. We recognize you as our God, as our Savior, as our Redeemer. Thank you for the grace you have ushered into our life. Thank you for the enduring mercy that is our portion, Lord. You are a covenant-keeping God. And you are faithful, Lord. We thank you for all this. Grant us grace, Lord, to rely and trust on you. To depend entirely on you, Lord. For vain is the arm of the flesh. Thank you, Father, this morning for your word. Let it be a light, and deliverance, and blessing to your people. For those who are in the auditorium this morning, and for those who are watching from any other location all over the whole world, we ask that you extend your blessings to them through your word this morning. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We are going to continue with the series Spiritual Bullies Part 2, though we turn it around and move 3 to 2. It is today on we'll be concentrating on the Satan is the bully in chief, like they have a commander in chief and stuff. Our enemy, Satan, is the bully in chief. Before we go into that part, we usually want to do a summary of the past message if it's a series. The past message, part one, we want to summarize it quickly before we go into the part two, which is now regarding the bully in chief. We condemn anything bullying anybody. For whatever reason, it is not right. It is a sin against man and mankind. And we spoke that in part one, the government of the world so recognized the damage that it does that they are putting resources to stem it. There's bullying in school, in place of work, at home, and so on. And these are done or perpetuated by men and women and people, children or whatever, who are also devious and take pressure in torturing others, in putting their life in, making their life a nightmare. And some at times, some of the people that are tormented so despair of life that they even take their own life or take the life of the bullies. And we condemn such, but then we spoke about bullying in the church of God from the pulpit. And we said that that is wrong, especially in the household of faith. And we spoke about the pastors, the teachers, the ministers, the prophets and apostles who use the power of the pulpit, the podium bully as I call them. These are wolves in sheep clothing. Jude described them completely. He said that they are not part of our gospel because they take the grace of God and make a mockery of it. They use it as a license. He called it licentiousness. They use it as a license to control, to conduct, to do immorality in the household of faith. Some of this is perpetuated by young children, girls and boys, abuse and so on and so forth. And they have the audacity to call themselves men of God. They are not men of God. They weaken the arm of the gospel. And we say to such that you define them completely and say that you are like crowd without water. You are like a tree that does not bear fruit in its season. Double dead, rotted from the root, because you are not fulfilling what you are supposed to be called to do. And we also caution in part one about the people who sit idle and watch such things being done in churches, in places of worship, in organizations. I say that these are spiritual cowards because they sit on the sideline and give support to such people when they shall be whistleblowers to report such evil if it is being done. We say that they enable, that spiritual cowards enable these bullies because they keep silent. There's a saying that evil prospers when good men or women keep silent. So if you see such things like the ones I watched on the TV and stuff, the deacons and deaconess and some of them know what is going on, but because they want to retain their position, they keep quiet. And we say such things should not happen in the household of faith. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we then admonish people who are in the church who have the tendency to write off godly correction, admonition, as this is just bully mentality. You shouldn't do that. When you are corrected by the word in love, you shouldn't write it off. And we also warn about people in the church who tend to gravitate towards such bullies from the pulpit because they are charismatic and they are rich and they are flamboyant and so on and so forth, and thereby negate the humble men and women of God who are actually serving God according to the will of God. You take them for granted. You overlook them. You just write them off. It's just a common man of God, because they are not using that opportunity, that license they are giving to bully or to manipulate or to intimidate you, and you take them for granted. Maybe they are not driving fancy car. They walk to preach, they don't dress, they don't have anything, because they are doing things God's way, and you take from granted. I say shame unto you if you should be doing that. You should honor such. You should uphold such. You should thank God for such, because those are people that are actually doing the plan of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? Amen? And lastly, we call them to admonish them to emulate the life of such one like Samuel. Samuel was given to the gospel maybe at the age of 5, then called into the gospel maybe at the age of 10 or 11 by God, and towards the end of his life, he called the whole Israel before the anointed of the Lord and said, "Does any one of you have anything against me? Is there anybody that has anything against me? All the years I walked from city to city, from town to town, judging Israel. Have you taken from any man their cow? Have I taken from any man their children? Have I taken from any man their gold?" And the whole Israel said, "No." That is the person we should what? Emulate. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Millions of people that he has or could have defrauded, manipulated, used. They all say no. There is no single negative account against such man of God. I call on you who are doing this in the household of faith, emulate such one. Emulate the word of David, this good psalmist of Israel, anointed of God, with his last breath on his dying bed. He said that God spoke to me. The rock of Israel said unto me, that he that ruleth shall rule in the world in the fear of the Lord. That he that ruleth among men shall rule in the fear of God. That he shall be like the morning cloud that is transparent, clear. You know, like when it rains in the night and you wake up in the morning and you look at the cloud. It's so beautiful, it's transparent, you can see to the heavens. That your life should be like that. That is what we should emulate. That is what we should support. Not people that take this word of God for granted and use it to weaken the arm of those who want to do well. Stop it, it's not right. Jude said, you should stop because there is eternal hell and damnation for you. God give grace and mercy to you as you change, as you walk away from such. But that is the summary of part one. Quickly, today's message will be taken for 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Spiritual bully, part 2. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, Satan is the chief bully. Read with me, everybody. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Our pastor Yata has mentioned his sermon, he said that he, by the fact, evident that he's looking around, going to seek who is devouring, means that it's not everybody that is destined to be devoured. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. 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 But here, the word of God is telling us about this chief bully. I want to reveal certain things about him today, as God gives grace. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Satan was demoted from heaven, sent across the firmaments at the speed of light. And the best he can become is to become a bully. The best he could be was become a bully to bully mankind. He's not a lion. If you look at it, say adversary as a roaring lion. He's not a lion. He is an imitation. So don't fall to his bulliness. Don't fall to what he is doing, and many of us have fallen into that many a times. There are Christians, you say, if you want to rebuke, they say, don't provoke him. You don't need to provoke Satan. He's already provoked. He's angry 24/7. He's walking around as a roaring lion. There's no point trying not to provoke him. He's roaring mad and crazy and out to do evil. But one thing I want you to know before we start on this message is that it's an imitation of a lion. It's not a true lion. He has the characteristics of the bullies who are usually coward, who are independent in manipulation, in control, and so on and so forth, as we're going to bring out. But there is a lion, blessed be the name of the Lord. In Revelation chapter 5, verse 5, John was looking to see who can open the book of life, the covenant that God has made with mankind for salvation. And he said that John wept because there is none able to open that book. And then one of the elders said to him, weep not, John, for the lion of the tribe of Judah, blessed be the name of the Lord, he has what? Prevailed. Amen. Weep not, John. For there is one who is a true lion, not an imitation of a lion, not one who goes about trying to be like the real lion. His name is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he has done what? Prevail. Let us say, prevail. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And is now counted worthy to open that book, and blessed be the name of the Lord, because that book of seals were opened. In the eyes and the mind of God, today we have salvation by his name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Our big brother has thrashed Satan. You know, like at times, bullies torture small kids. But when their big brother is around, what do? They don't even come close. Because you can torture the 5-year-old or 6. But his big brother with big muscle come around. And you dare not mess with him. Because his brother is around. Jesus thrashed Satan. Amen. Let us not be afraid to think and say, Jesus defeated Satan. Satan is a lion without teeth. He's not even a lion. He is using that to try to control you. Satan has in his arsenals a lot of things going for him. We're going to bring about three of them today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Among his weapons that he brings to intimidate you, to frustrate you, to make you think less of yourself, to make you think you cannot do it, to make you think that God is not there, some of them will start with number one, intimidation leading to fear. Intimidation is one of the tools that bullies use. And Satan also uses intimidation against the people of God. If a child of God does not know who he is or who she is in the Lord, Satan will intimidate you easily. He will whisper in your ear that you cannot do it, that you don't have access to God because of your failures or your sin, which has been forgiven, that God will not hear you, and that Satan is such a big giant in your way that you can't get through him to get what God has for your life. Now, when he roars, I want you to notice something here. When Satan roars, the purpose of roaring is to freeze you so that you become inactive. Now, lions in the wilderness, when they are hunting for animals, they use two tactics. They either creep, kind of go quietly and pounce on the animal they want to kill. They crouch, they wait in the thickets and wait until they are close to them, then they pounce. That's another tactic that lion in the natural use. When they roar, they are the king of the forest. Some people, some animal will just be paralyzed so much with fear and frozen that they will not act, they will not do anything, and so they become meat or breakfast for that animal, for that lion. So when the enemy goes around roaring, he says your adversary goes around doing what? Roaring. The intention is to freeze you, and that is what many Christians have become. When the enemy raises his head, when the adversary comes, when trial of faith comes, many of us goes into a cocoon, we crawl up and practically die. We forget that we have a champion. We forget that we have a God. We forget that we have someone who is mightier than the devil and able to save and to deliver. Now, intimidation leads to fear. When you have fear, you can't get anything by faith. Because God, in dealing with mankind, requires that we have faith in him, that we have faith in his word, that we have faith in what he has promised. And when you are operating by fear, you are not going to get anything from God. So when the enemy raises in the middle of the night and starts to speak to your soul, when the enemy comes and starts to tell you that this situation is hopeless, that your marriage is going downhill, that your business, your job, your finances, your health, so many things it can bring into the picture. When it starts to speak, that is when you should rise to the occasion as a child of God. And do what? Start to speak back to him through the word of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And say, the Lord have said, I rebuke you, Satan. You will not see me talking with anybody and uphold Satan up or in any way talk about him. But within myself, in my spirit, many a times in a day, I rebuke myself. Get behind me, Satan, in Jesus' name. People who are not around me, if you're around me, you may hear about me, but I'm because he has a way to creep in and start to speak to your soul and start to sow seed and start to sow fear and start to bring his intimidation. Your duty as a child of God is immediately to counter with the word of God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You should learn to know his voice. When he comes in the middle of the night, when he comes early in the morning, when he comes and tells you that situation is unattainable, that there is no hope, tell him that you serve a God, blessed be the name of the Lord, who said that all things is possible to him that believeth. Your part is to have faith and not to have fear. That is one of the areas that the enemy used to try to force you not to resist. I want to tell you one thing that the Bible says, James chapter 4 verse 7. James 4, 7, please, let's hurry up to that. It says, to show you that Satan is actually a coward. It says, submit yourself therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he will do what? He will flee from you. Mark that word, flee. He didn't say he will walk. He didn't even say he will run. He said he will run in panic. That is flee. Well, have you ever seen somebody fleeing from something? The back of their leg will practically be touching the back of their head. As they run, they don't even... You see somebody who don't say, I cannot run before, going at the speed of light practically. Because they are fleeing from that thing. The Bible didn't say that Satan will walk away. He didn't say that he will run away. He said that Satan will do what? Flee. Because of what? You resisted him. But like a cockroach he is, like a serpent he is, he will call around maybe 2 or 3 days or weeks later and try the same thing. He said again, what do you have to do? Resist the devil and he will do again what? Flee from you. 2 months later, he may come back again. Or hours later, I don't know. He may gather courage, try to see, let me see. There. I say, the Bible says again, do what? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That is where you see me at times speaking out to him when I'm driving or when I'm taking a walk or in the middle of the night. Get behind me, Satan, in Jesus' name. And immediately that thought, that action, whatever, it will go with it. Because that's what the scripture says. But first and foremost, remember what the Bible says in the beginning. It says, submit yourself, therefore, unto God. For your obedience will now bring vengeance upon the enemy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When your obedience is fulfilled, then God can avenge every disobedience on your behalf. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So James 4, 7 says that we are to resist the enemy. Not to cower, not to be frozen, not to panic, not to say there's no more hope, not to write it as, oh, I'm done. Oh, I need this pastor. Oh, I need that prophet. Let me call that person. Let me hold and call them in the morning. He said that moment in time, do what? Resist the devil. You have the power in you. You have the light in you. You have the nature of God in you. There is Jesus Christ in your life. The power in the pastor or the prophet or whatever, the same Holy Spirit is in you. When the enemy comes against your family, resist the devil. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When the enemy comes against your finances, resist the devil. Amen. When the enemy comes against your health, do what? Resist the devil. In any area, but first and foremost, make sure that you have submitted yourself, therefore, unto God. Bless you. Put your hands together for the Lord, everybody. Amen. So there is intimidation. Another area that the devil works against man, against people, is divide and control. Bullies. They like to operate against the weak, lonely person. They will look around in the school and look for that kid that, you know, doesn't have much friends or people around them. So they go and start to make their life miserable. When you stand alone, at times, the devil pick you out. But if you gang up against the devil as a man and a wife, if you gang up against him, he will not be able to function. So he used this method, divide, control, and to dominate. When he's able to divide the church, when he's able to divide the family, when he's able to divide the entity, the group, and separate them, throw them apart, go against one another in one another's throat, then the enemy can creep in and do what? Control and dominate. That is why the Bible made it clear. He said that one can chase 1,000, but two will do what? Chase 10,000. When you as a body, as mainstream group, as evangelical group, as any group at all, man and wife, children, family, when you are together, the enemy cannot make entrance easily into that family. But if there is division, if there is fighting and bickering, if there is discord, if there is hearsays, if you go about sowing seed of discord among yourself, then the enemy will make entrance. When you gang against him, one of the things he will do is to flee. But then he will go and whisper to one person or to this other person. And once he's able to sow this of this the seed of discord among you guys, he has made an entrance. That is why we have to learn why Jesus Christ on the cross, on in the last time he was praying before going to the cross, he said that they may be one. Blessed be the name of the Lord. One in unifying against the common enemy. He says that if a house is divided, there's no hope for them. They are going into dissolution. If a city or kingdom is divided, there's no hope for them. They are coming down. So I want to encourage families, as much as grace of God abounds, be in unity. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let your faith and prayer be one. In a church, in a household of faith, be one against a common enemy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Matthew chapter 12, 25, we're not going to pull it up. He starts to say about if a kingdom is divided and if a house or a city is divided. They are no more going to be able to contend against the enemy. So I want to encourage us to always, in the name of the Lord, stand together. Don't allow those demonic spirits, when they come to sow seed of discord in your family, in the church, in the place where you work, the enemy use that method. It comes to one person and start to tell you things to sow seed of discord. You know, my husband is such a wonderful person, or my wife is such an angel, or what of yours, and so on. And then you start looking down on what you have. You start feeling that what you have is no more good. Or in your church, this group will come against group. This person will come and put it down in the name of Jesus. Know it immediately for what it is. This is the enemy. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The resistance will come once you have an understanding that this is the enemy working. And you speak it out. You condemn him. You put him where he belongs and say, get behind me, Satan, in the name of Jesus. And he will flee from you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. If you allow him, he will divide. He will then be able to control. And then he will be able to dominate. But that is not our portion in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And lastly, critical and judgmental. Let us read chapter 12, Revelation chapter 12, verse 9 to 10. Revelation 12, 9 to 10. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Revelation 12, 9 to 10. I'll read. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. That's what he is. He's more of a serpent. He's not a lion. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Which deceived the whole world, he was cast out into the earth at the speed of light, booted out of heaven by Jesus Christ. And his angels were cast down with him. That's why his minions. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is the kingdom, is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God. Why? And the power of his Christ. For the accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God, what? Day and night. I keep telling people who are so afraid, say, you don't need to do much to provoke him again. He doesn't sleep. He's doing it day and night. But he is an accuser. And one of the methods he used to bully you is to accuse you. He'll be critical of you in everything. Mind you, there is the power that is out there according to the scriptures. According to the word of God, there are certain powers in the firmament. Demonic influences, angelic powers, then on top of them is satanic that dominates and controls them. These things goes about accusing you, coming and influencing you, coming and whispering things to you. At times, if you are like a radio that is tuned into different channels, you pick voices, you pick actions, you pick different things that comes at you. And so they are accusing you, and many a times we fall prey to the accusation of the devil. I've seen people whom Jesus Christ has forgiven their sin, who are still living under condemnation. I can tell you stories of so many people who, because of what they have done and they have given their sin, they don't understand that when you submit yourself to God, the grace of God now takes over. He said you are seeing that is like a crimson, like a crimson on the snow. It's not made white as a snow. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is the grace of God. Now, when you keep holding on to it, the enemy, you use it as a means to suppress you. You may not be able to get faith to get what you want or what you desire, what God is holding out for you, because you are still living under accusation. And who is the person instigating this accusation? It is who? The devil. Many a times, Satan will use individual that is close to you to bring accusation. And if you are not careful, you go into depression. If you are not careful, you will be demoralized, you will be paralyzed, you will be frozen, you will be inactive, inertia. You are not going to be able to do much because you are thinking and worrying and stressing when the devil is using another person's voice to speak through them against you. You need to realize that this is the enemy at work. Now you are failing God if you go against them in a flesh way. Your duty is to love them. Your duty is to hold them up to God in prayer. Your duty is to forgive. And let God deal with the situation in Jesus' name. When people are using you, I've seen people, there's one time I was so cast down. A man of God I looked up to. I so looked up to him. He's always coming around and praying for me and supporting me and that time I was going through a lot in life. The master I was serving didn't want to settle me according to our culture. You know, you practically give yourself as a slave to somebody, work for them for some years, and after that they will settle you, give you something to start off in life. But instead of doing that, he passed it around that I stole it, that I've taken something from him, that I did this and did that. And this thing was weighing upon me because not only am I going to get out from anything, I'm losing everything I've worked for years. Then to compound it, the man of God that I looked up to started to pass the message from person to person. Did you hear what Brother Emmanuel did? I can't believe that. And he went around and around and around. I thank God for, I will mention the positive ones. I thank God for Roland Akibon. I thank God for Emeka Okonkwo, who stood by me and said, that cannot be him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But this other one was broadcasting it everywhere. And I've looked up to him. I tell you, I wake up at times, I feel like, what is life again? But it was in the midst of that trial that once somebody told me when I went to Nibo to stay, say, why don't you go into fasting and break certain things down? I never fasted that much in my life. I went into, I think it's either 10 or 14 days of fast for the first time in my life. At the end of that fast, in the middle of that fast, God gave me a vision. So I will take you to another land. And he shows me somewhere, I don't know what it's, I don't know what's America, I don't have TV, I don't have any of the resources that many of us have. I said, well, where are you? He said, I will take you, I will make a way for you to be there. I got out of that fasting and asked some brethren and said, how do you go to America? And they looked at me and laughed. They haven't seen people who are standing, how much more people who are sitting. I say, how do you go there? Say, well, you start by getting a passport. Passport? I say, that is easy. I thought it was a 4x4 passport. You know, the one. That's sincerely what I thought it was. I say, if that is all it takes, I'll go get it. Say, stupid, that is not 4x4 passport. You actually have to get what they call traveling passport to travel. It takes 2 years. It takes 4 years. But by somebody who is sitting here who I never even know. And God gave me in a dream that he walked into my place one day. Through that person, God made a way for me to get out of Nigeria. Put your hands together for the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It wasn't easy, but God made a way. But that man nearly took my faith away. It wasn't him, it is the devil. If I name him, everybody or most people here, he's an old timer among us. Very durable, very steadfast in the Lord, always praying. But what? He joined the accuser against me. And that nearly took me away from the choosing path of the Lord. But God is faithful. Amen. God is faithful. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God is faithful. Amen. So when the enemy comes with his judgment, or use people to try to judge you, rebuke the devil. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If they have told everybody, don't worry about it. God will vindicate you with time in the name of Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to speak to you who are at home. Maybe you are there being bullied by Satan or through his minions, individuals. Maybe you feel you are hopeless. I want you to join me this morning and resist the devil in the name of Jesus Christ. I want you to join me and resist him for your life, for your family, for your finances, for your health. Whatever it is outloaded out against you. God is able. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, if you are waiting for God to resist the devil for you, you may have to wait forever. You have to take action. Our brother was speaking this morning about works. The path of works, doing your own part, opening your mouth to speak, claiming the promises of God, standing against the enemy, not giving ground, looking ahead unto him who is able to hold you. You have to resist the devil. Amen? This is a God will resist him for you. He has given you the power. He has given you the authority. He has given you the grace, the ability to stand against that imitation of a lion, that ancient dragon, that old serpent has no more power over them that are touched by the blood of Jesus. That is the word of the Lord. So let us pray. I call upon the name of the Lord. If you haven't given yourself to your life to Christ, the Bible says, submit yourself therefore unto what? Unto God. If you haven't submitted your life to God, don't waste time trying to resist the devil. He will eat you for breakfast and the remaining will go for lunch or dinner. So don't even try it. If you have not submitted your life to Christ and you are watching me this morning, as you are watching at this point, I want you to raise your hand wherever you are and say, I surrender all. Blessed be the name of the Lord. To God this morning, I, whoever you are, I'm giving my life over to God. I'm now saying from today, Jesus Christ, come into my life and take control in Jesus' name. I'm now saying that from today, I, whoever you are, put your name there, that you are the Lord of my life. From today, I look unto you. Any sin I've committed, any sin of omission or commission, whatever thing I've done in the past, let that blood of Jesus atone for me this morning in the name of Jesus. Let the grace of God take control in the name of Jesus. From today, I ask the Holy Spirit to come into my life and take control. From now on, I am a child of God. I yield unto the will of God for my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Father, for those who have prayed this morning, we have done the first part. Submit yourself unto God. And then I'm going to stand with them to resist the enemy. In any fashion, in any way, he has crippled them. He has frozen them. They are not in Asia. They cannot take any action. Father, I release them from such yoke in the name of Jesus. You are the Lord that made way for me. When there was no way, when my head was cast down, when it looked like I cannot rise, when it looked like the gate of hell will take over, you stood up for me, Lord. Stood up for them now in Jesus' name. Make a way for them, Lord. Deliver them from the situation. Whatever it is that the enemy is doing in their life, we seize that action now in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, let your name be glorified. We bless you, Lord, for everybody who have had this ministry this morning. Bless them, Lord. You have promised by your word that, Father, if any man come to you, you will in no wise cast them out. Therefore, receive them unto your kingdom and bless them and hold them up. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. He's able. Our God is able. Put your hands together for the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.